RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you news commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia. We will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for today headlines. Presidential regulation needed on shipbuilding policy. The Indonesian government will build water city area in Indonesia. TNI submitted data of Malaysia breach to the memorandum of protest. Now the news in detail. The Study Center of Public Policy said the government policy banning state companies from building ships abroad needs to be backed up with a presidential regulation. In addition, the regulation should not only be limited to state companies, but the regulation should also be applied to other state agencies. Study Center of Public Policy, Puskepi Director Sofiano Zakaria said in Jakarta on Monday, "The policy of President Joko Widodo deserves support from all, as it concerns the interests of the national shipbuilding industry," Sofiano said. In addition, the government needs to provide incentives for investment in shipbuilding industry to improve the competitiveness of the industry. Data at Pertamina showed that in the last decade, Pertamina had 32 units of tankers built in the country, and in 2010-2015, the company has 18 new tankers built domestically. Sofiano Zakaria said the first order for the biggest vessels that could be built by domestic shipyard always came from Pertamina. Currently, Pertamina needs 180 tankers for distribution of oil fuel, BBM. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi emphasized that the holy month of Ramadan is a month for contemplation and self-reflection. Besides the only month of Ramadan, the holy month of Ramadan can be used for giving and sharing, not only among friends and families, but also for those who are less fortunate. That was stated by the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno LP Marsudi, in her remark during Pejambon Iftar at Gedung Pancasila Foreign Affairs Ministry, Jakarta, on Monday evening.
Ramadan is a month of contemplation, a month of self-reflection and devotion through fasting and prayers. It is also a time of giving, of sharing, a time where families, friends get together in celebration of the joyous month. A time where we are called upon to help not just each other, but those less fortunate as well.
Furthermore, Retno LP Marsudi said that the holy month of Ramadan reminds the peoples and the nation to respect each other with the principles that has been taught by Islam as the religion of Rahmatan Lil Alamin, or to spread the love for the whole world. According to Retno LP Marsudi, the holy month of Ramadan shows to the world that Islam is a religion which promotes peace, respect, and tolerance. Pejambon Iftar was attended by about 300 invited guests, among others the Commission One of the House of Representatives, ambassadors, former and family of former ministers of foreign affairs, former Indonesian ambassadors, religious leaders, academics, think tanks, editor-in-chief of printed and electronic mass media, as well as 50 orphans from the families of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and kindergarten students of Alternative School of Street Children. Indonesian government will build fishermen area with a water city concept in 10 cities in Indonesia. Minister of Public Works and Public Housing Basuki Hadimulyo at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Monday said the project of fishermen area is expected not need expensive costs, but it is appropriate for the fishermen. He said the government is currently designing the concept of the project.
The President Jokowi's wish is the clean water city, but those are not expensive. President wants the concept like in Brunei, but it needs a big cost, and it seems Indonesia is not capable. So we are asked to make the previous and future of perspective about the construction budget planning.
Minister Basuki Hadimulyono also explained that the project is expected to become a pioneer project of the water city to replace Wild Fisherman Village, which can be finished in 2015. The target of the development of Fisherman Area is focused in Belawan Island, Fisherman Villages in Tegal and Pekalongan, Central Java. Vice Chairman of the Assessment Agency of People's Consultative Assembly MPR Tubagus Hasanuddin urged Indonesian government to report on bribery acts taken by Australia to immigrants and ship captain to the UN Refugees Agency, UNHCR. This was stated at a discussion on maintaining sovereignty of the Indonesian maritime at the MPR-DPR-DPD building Monday. Moreover, the expulsion of immigrants and bribery is then directed to the Indonesian region. According to Hasanuddin, by reporting to the United Nations, the international world can know the behavior of Australia. The expulsion of refugees and provide money in order the refugees moving on to the Indonesian territory, according to Tubagus, it is similar to prohibiting people stealing in their own countries but doing it in other countries. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The government, Bank Indonesia, and the House of Representatives Finance Commission on Monday agreed on the macro assumptions for the 2016 state budget draft. In the meeting, Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro lowered his proposed assumption of economic growth to 5.5 to 6.0% in 2016. In last week's meeting, he proposed a growth assumption of 5.8 to 6.2%. Bambang projects a volatile economy in 2016 due to uncertainties about the Fed rate hike and conditions in Greece. Global Economic Developments BI Governor Agus Martowardoyo said will affect Indonesia's export following commodity prices improvement. Better consumption rate and purchasing power will also improve if the government materializes infrastructure development in the second half of this year. 6 out of 10 transactions in DPR, PDIP, Golkar, Gerindra, PKB, PKS, and PPP agreed on the government and central bank's proposal. They said that a 5.5 to 6.0% growth rate is achievable, provided the government continues to boost investment and maintain trade balance. Indonesian military commander General Muldoko said he had prepared a report about the encroachment data made by Malaysia. Muldoko in Jakarta on Monday explained that the report previously requested by the Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi as material to submit a protest note to Malaysia for its encroachment occurred in the area of Ambalat Block. However, Muldoko said, at this time, the important thing is to improve coordination and cooperation with Malaysia so that the cases of encroachment would not occur in the future. Muldoko previously stated he was communicated with the commander of Malaysian armed forces not to set down the soldiers in Ambalat. According to Muldoko, the Ambalat issues will be resolved diplomatically. Until May 2015, Malaysian military aircrafts have been alleged to repeatedly trespassing into Kalimantan border region, namely Ampalat. The last item. Indonesian Trade Ministry support the Baros International Animation Festival, BIAF 2015, to be held on October 7th to 10th, 2015, in Cimahi, West Java. Director of the National Export Development Ministry of Trade, Nus Nuzulia Ishak, on Monday in Jakarta said that she was optimistic that Indonesia animation films can play a greater role and will be more growth at home. According to Nus, animation product demand in the country is enormous. Not only in the country, the demands for animation products in foreign markets are even greater, with very promising profit.
Indonesia has quite large potentials to develop the animation industry. Its natural resources and culture are also very remarkable. Indonesia can be a creative inspiration in creating works of animation because it provides a uniqueness that distinguishes the product's animation of other countries.
Nus further said that based on data from the Central Statistics Agency, BPS, that subsector film, video, photography and animation export in 2010 reached $65 million and continued to increase in 2013 with a value of $66 million. She said the growth in the number of qualified animators, the increasing number of animation studios and the development of animation communities in Indonesia today have shown that animation creative resources in Indonesia have already started. It also has colored Indonesia's creative industries. Nuzulia confirmed this animation festival should be encouraged to improve the competitiveness of the animation work of Indonesia's children in the local and international level, so as advancing the national economy while contributing to increase Indonesian export. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Presidential regulation needed on shipbuilding policy. The Indonesian government will build water city area in Indonesia. Indonesian state banks look to integrate electronic services in July. That was the news.
Here is today's commentary on the benefits of the elimination of luxury goods tax. I'm Dalapani. The government of Indonesia in the near future will remove a number of items as objects of the luxury goods sale tax. The Ministry of Finance has issued regulations on the sales tax exemption of luxury goods, effective from July 8, 2015. A number of the goods to be exempted, including household appliances such as water heaters and air conditioning. Also items relating to hobbies such as fishing tool, golf, diving and surfing, as well as various personal items such as perfumes, watches and so on. The government's intention with the removal of the sales tax of luxury goods is to improve people's buying interest, increase sales, help companies' productivities, and in turn help economic growth. During this time, many Indonesian people who go abroad to buy branded goods. This is because the price is much cheaper than if it is bought in Indonesia, which are subject to sales tax of luxury goods. By the removal of several effective portion of the tax objects from the sales tax of luxury goods, people who had often do their shopping abroad is expected to be interested in domestic spending. By doing so, the national industry will evolve. The elimination of sales tax of luxury goods also has benefits to suppress the smuggling of luxury goods from abroad. During this time, many luxury goods smuggle to evade taxes. The sales tax of luxury goods, which is imposed, is apparently not effective in protecting the domestic market from the invasion of branded goods abroad. When it is exempted from the tax, then the possibility of smuggling luxury goods from abroad will be reduced. While there are benefits The exemption of sales tax of luxury goods gets criticism. Executive Director of INDAP, Annie Srihartati, evaluated that with the exemption of the sales tax of luxury goods, the country will have two disadvantages, namely, loss of potency for the income from duties, as well as a flood of imported goods. The government also argued, during the implementation of luxury goods sales tax, the state's revenue has not significantly increased. Meanwhile, to slow the rate of imports, the government raised the income tax rate on imports of certain goods from 7.5% to 10%. The removal of sales tax of luxury goods is a response to the proposal submitted by many parties in the country in recent years. The luxury goods sales tax will come into force soon. Enabling this policy does not automatically reduce the influx of illegal luxury goods, so that related parties must not relax their surveillance. Well, listener, that was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's start with June 23, 2007, when Professor Dr. Suyudi, former Indonesian Health Minister, died. Professor Dr. Suyudi, who was former Minister of Health of Indonesia for the 1993 to 1998 period and former Rector of the University of Indonesia, died on June 23, 2007 from a heart attack. He was a Professor Emeritus of Microbiology, Faculty of Medicine, University of Indonesia. Until the end of his life, Dr. Suyudi remained active in the Indonesia-Japan Friendship Association, Chairman of Blood Transfusion and Indonesian Red Cross Hospital, and a Chief Commissioner of a number of companies in the field of health. During his service, Professor Suyudi received various awards, including Mahaputra Adi Pradana Star from the Government of Indonesia. Also an award from the governments of Japan, France, Uzbekistan, Austria, and the Netherlands. Professor Suyudi, also the initiator of the ideas and ideals of the University of Indonesia, becoming a world-class research university. Now let's move to June the 23rd, 1868, when Christopher Latham Sholes received a patent for an invention he called the typewriter. Christopher Latham Sholes, born on February 14, 1819, and died on February 17, 1890, was an American inventor who invented the first practical typewriter and the QWERTY keyboard still in use today. He was also a newspaper publisher and Wisconsin politician. A typewriter is a mechanical or electromechanical machine for writing in characters similar to those produced by printers' movable type by means of keyboard-operated type striking a ribbon to transfer ink or carbon impressions onto paper. After their invention in the 1860s, typewriters quickly became indispensable tools for practically all writing other than personal correspondence. They were widely used by professional writers in offices and for business correspondence in private homes. By the end of 1980s, word processors and personal computers had largely displaced typewriters in most of these uses in the world, but as of the 2010s, the typewriter is still prominent in many parts of the world, including in India. Next is from 1894, when the International Olympic Committee is founded at the Sorbonne in Paris at the initiative of Baron Pierre de Coubertin. The International Olympic Committee, IOC, is an international non-profit, non-governmental organization based in Lausanne, Switzerland, created by Pierre Baron de Corbettin on June 23, 1894, with Demetrios Rikelas as its first president. Today, its membership consists of 100 active members, 32 honorary members, and one honor member. The IOC is the supreme authority of the worldwide modern Olympic movement. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with Focus. And for today's edition, it's on basic necessities stocks safe until Eid al-Fitr, so stay tuned. Listener, the government through the Ministry of Trade ensures that basic needs and their prices at the beginning of the fasting until the next few months are quite stable. The stock of staple goods across the province is enough to meet the need in the fasting month of Ramadan and Eid al-Fitr 2015. Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel in Jakarta said rice stocks during fast month and Eid al-Fitr would be enough to meet the needs of 1 to 5 months. At the end of July, he expects there will be 1.740 million ton surplus of rice. For processed food, according to Rahmat Gobel, retailers in this business have aided the supply between 30 to 50% of normal conditions, as well as improved the system of transport of goods by freight at night, especially in Jakarta. He considered that there is still a reasonable price increase in some regions, which is quite normal. Therefore, he urged people not to worry about basic needs related to stocks. Rahmat Gobel added, the government also continues its efforts to reduce the disparity in prices of essential goods between Western Indonesia and Eastern Indonesia, among others, by developing maritime outlets. Ministry of Trade and Ministry of Transportation have developed maritime outlets by opening pioneer trails of essential goods with 32 ports route in Eastern Indonesia. In the early stages, the government had sent off a pilot ship which brought basic needs to Eastern Indonesia. It was carrying 11 containers of basic goods. The Maritime Outlets Program is also collaborating with Indonesian national liner PT Pelni and various producers of staple goods. In addition, the Ministry of Trade and the entire trade sector stakeholders are also currently preparing regulation of the Minister of Trade on the special pricing of essential goods. Related to this, Commission 11 of the House of Representatives expressed its support. President Joko Widodo's decree on controlling prices of basic necessities and essential goods. Such measures have been carried out in many countries, such as in Malaysia and Thailand. And listener, that was Focus.
Welcome to headline of some national newspapers published on Tuesday, June 23, 2015. We start with Kompas. In its headline, writes about 1,918 children suffering malnutrition in East Nusa Tenggara, NTT. A total of 1,918 children in East Nusa Tenggara province suffer malnutrition during January to May 2015. It is also recorded 11 under 5-year-old children died of malnutrition. In addition, there are other 21,134 children under 5 are malnourished. Head of Section of Public Nutrition Improvement, the Department of Health of East Nusa Tenggara, Isbandrio, in Kupang on Monday explained, malnutrition is experienced by poor families living in the remote region and hinterland. They are difficult to reach by motor vehicles because of the lack facility of road. According to Isbandrio, mothers' understanding on the nutrient is also very low, moreover exacerbated by prolonged drought, which resulted crop failure. While Media Indonesia Daily in its headline writes about unloading repair, saving costs of 527 trillion rupiah. The government's effort to accelerate the time of loading and unloading in the port or dwelling time from an average time of 5.5 days to 4.7 days can reduce logistics costs about 527 billion rupiah per year. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Indroyono Susilo in Jakarta Monday explained, the logistics cost savings is started from the pre-custom, customs and post-custom. The total of Indonesia's logistics costs currently account for 24% of gross domestic product. Republika Daily in its headline writes about Pertamina is waiting for the total attitude. The decision of stock setting in the management of the Mahakam Block in East Kalimantan still need finalization. The government has handed over 70% of management rights to PT Pertamina and Regions, while the other 30% to the two foreign operators. They are Total E&P Indonesia and Impex Corporation, the oil and gas company from France and Japan. However, Director General of Oil and Gas Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, Wiratmaja Puja, said serving 30% still have to be discussed again. Koran Sindo in its headlines writes about PAN and Democrat Party have opportunity to come to the cabinet. The national politics will run dynamically. President Joko Widodo likely to attract a cadre of red-white coalition party KMP and form a grand condition if the working cabinet evaluation leads to reshuffle later. Executive Director of Barometer Indonesia, M. Kodari, said the government of Joko Widodo Yusuf Kala requires political stability, so it is possible to add coalition forces to secure the government's policies and programs. And we conclude with Business Indonesia in its headline writes about the growth target is trimmed. The government cuts its 2016 economic growth assumption to 5.5% to 6.0% following the debt negotiation process of Greek that runs quite difficult, so it is potential to influence the stability of global financial market and the world economy slowdown, including Indonesia. The correction of 2016 economic growth assumption was delivered by Minister of Finance Bambang Brojonegoro in an advance working meeting with the House of Representatives Commission 11, which discusses macroeconomic framework and principle of fiscal policy in 2016 in Jakarta on Monday. In a previous meeting, the growth assumption was proposed from 5.8 to 6.2%. This year and next year will become uncertain period. Listener, that was headline.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Listener, now welcome to News in Brief. The Study Center of Public Policy said the government policy banning state companies from building ships abroad needs to be backed up with a presidential regulation. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi emphasized that the holy month of Ramadan is a month for contemplation and self-reflection. Indonesian government will build fisherman area with a water city concept in 10 cities in Indonesia. Minister of Public Works and Public Housing Basuki Hadimulyono and at the Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Monday said the project of fisherman area is expected not need expensive costs, but it is appropriate for the fishermen. Vice Chairman of the Assessment Agency of People's Consultative Assembly MPR Tubagus Hasanuddin urged Indonesian government to report on bribery acts taken by Australia to immigrants and ship captain to the UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR. The government, Bank Indonesia, and the House of Representatives Finance Commission on Monday agreed on the macro assumptions for the 2016 state budget draft. Indonesian military commander General Muldoko said he had prepared a report about the encroachment data made by Malaysia. Muldoko in Jakarta on Monday explained that the report previously requested by the Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi as material to submit a protest note to Malaysia for its encroachment occurred in the area of Ambalat Block. Indonesian Trade Ministry support the Barros International Animation Festival 2015 to be held on October 7th to 10th, 2015 in Cimahi, West Java. Director of the National Export Development Ministry of Trade, Nus Nuzulia Ishak, on Monday in Jakarta said that she was optimistic that Indonesia animation films can play a greater role and will be more growth at home. That was news in brief.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention three tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Thank you for still listening at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin. Next segments, we have Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Bangka Belitung Islands. So, stay tuned. Listener, Bangka Belitung is a province in Indonesia, which consists of two main islands, namely Bangka and Belitung, as well as other small islands. From the total of 470 islands that have been named, only 50 islands are inhabited. Bangka Belitung is known as tin producing region. the region with inter-ethnic harmony and a rich area with beautiful beaches. Therefore, no wonder many tourists make the Bangka Belitung as one of their main tourist destinations when visiting Indonesia. Listener, marine tourism is a major tourism of Bangka Belitung province. The province offers many beautiful beaches and islands for marine tourism activities. One of them is Lampu Island in Belinyu sub-district, Bangka Belitung province. According to the local people, the island is called Pulau Lampu because we can see the light from the lighthouse on the island. The lighthouse is the Dutch heritage building. The 50-meter high lighthouse called Koningin Wilhelmina Lighthouse, which has been restored in 1893. While people also called the island as Pulau Pelepas, because the island also served as stopover place for fishermen to unwind. Dear listener, to go to Pulau Lampu or Pulau Pelepas, you can use a private or rental vehicles from Pangkal Pinang, the capital city of Bangka Belitung, to Penyusup Beach, which takes about 3 hours to pass through Sungai Liat City and Belinyu. When arriving at Penyusup Beach, you can hire a fishing boat to reach Pulau Lampu. If using wooden boats, you can pay only 15,000 rupiah per person. But if using a speedboat with a capacity of 10 people on board, you will be charged for rental ticket of 50,000 rupiah. Do not forget to bring your own food stock before heading to Pulau Lampu, because there has no restaurant facility on the island. The island has only have a toilet facility, and you have to pay 2,000 rupiah for the sanitation. The water of Pulau Lampu is surrounded by small islands filled with rocks. This island has white sand and clear water with many types of coral in the seabed. When you visit the Lampu Island, you will find the Dutch heritage houses, some lighthouse keeper houses, and diesel engine house as power plants. To reach the Dutch houses and the lighthouse tower, you have to climb the stairs to the top of the hill. From the Dutch heritage house, you can look around the island. If you want to see the beauty of Lampu Island from various angles, you can wander around the island using the rental boat. In just a few hours, you can surround the island because it is a relatively small island. You can bargain about the price for rental boat with the owner to get around the island. To enjoy the clarity and the beauty of the sea, you can swim and snorkel in the Lampu Island. Besides, you can also organize outbound activities or camping on the island. Dear listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topics Pulau Lampu in Bangka Belitung Province. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Introducing some Indonesian vocabulary which will guide you in using them in a conversation. Today's topic is kerja bakti, or in English, community service. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly, twice. You can follow after me. Kerja bakti. kerja bakti. In English, community service. Hari Minggu, hari Minggu. In English, Sunday. Lingkungan, lingkungan. In English, surroundings or neighborhoods. Dua minggu sekali, dua minggu sekali. In English, every 2 weeks. Jam 7 pagi, jam 7 pagi. In English, 7 a.m. Jam 10 pagi, jam 10 pagi. In English, 10 a.m. Membersihkan, membersihkan. In English, to clean. Tetangga, tetangga. In English, neighbor. Selokan, selokan. In English, sure. Membakar, membakar. In English, to burn. Sampah, sampah. In English, garbage. Menyapu, menyapu. In English, to sweep. Tempat pejalan kaki, tempat pejalan kaki. In English, pedestrian way. Memotong, memotong. In English, to cut or prune. Tanaman, tanaman. In English, plants. Minum teh hangat, minum teh hangat. In English, to drink hot tea. Makanan kecil, makanan kecil. In English, snacks. Ngobrol-ngobrol, ngobrol-ngobrol. In English, to chat. Menyenangkan, menyenangkan. In English, nice. Next is a conversation on kerja bakti, or in English, community service. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Tono and Budi at the office. Tono, apakah besok kamu ada acara? Apakah besok kamu ada acara? In English, are you busy tomorrow? Budi, ya, besok hari Minggu saya ada kerja bakti di lingkungan saya. Ya, besok hari Minggu saya ada kerja bakti di lingkungan saya. In English, yes, on Sunday tomorrow I'll join a community service in my neighborhood. Tono, oh ya, apa saja yang dilakukan selama kerja bakti? Oh ya, apa saja yang dilakukan selama kerja bakti? In English, really, what are you doing during the community service? Budi, kami membersihkan lingkungan bersama-sama tetangga yang lain. Kami membersihkan lingkungan bersama-sama tetangga yang lain. In English, we clean our surrounding along with other neighbors. Kami juga membersihkan selokan. Kami juga membersihkan selokan. In English, we also clean the sewer. Membakar sampah. Membakar sampah. In English, burn the garbage. Menyapu tempat pejalan kaki dan memotong tanaman. Menyapu tempat pejalan kaki dan memotong tanaman. In English, sweep the pedestrian way and prune the trees or plants. Tono, kapan biasanya kerja bakti dilakukan di lingkunganmu? Kapan biasanya kerja bakti dilakukan di lingkunganmu? In English, when is the community service usually held in your neighborhood? Budi, biasanya setiap 2 minggu sekali kami melakukan kerja bakti. Biasanya setiap 2 minggu sekali kami melakukan kerja bakti. In English, usually we hold a community service every 2 weeks. Kami mulai jam 7 pagi sampai dengan jam 10 pagi. Kami mulai jam 7 pagi sampai dengan jam 10 pagi. In English, we start at 7 a.m. until 10 a.m. Setelah selesai, kami menikmati minuman teh hangat dan makanan kecil sambil ngobrol-ngobrol. Setelah selesai, kami menikmati minuman teh hangat dan makanan kecil sambil ngobrol-ngobrol. In English, after it's finished, we'll enjoy some hot tea and snacks while chatting. Sangat menyenangkan. Sangat menyenangkan. In English, it's very nice. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic. Sampai berjumpa lagi.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, I present a religious pop singer, Opik. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Ramadan Tiba, or Ramadan is Coming, by Opik. Happy listening.
Ramadan tiba, Ramadan tiba, Ramadan tiba. Marhaban ya Ramadan, marhaban ya Ramadan. Marhaban ya Ramadan, marhaban ya Ramadan. Ramadan tiba, Ramadan tiba, Ramadan tiba. Marhaban ya Ramadan, marhaban ya Ramadan. Marhaban ya Ramadan. Marhaban ya Ramadan. Ramadan tiba, semua bahagia, tua dan muda bersuka cita. Bulan ampunan, bulan yang berkah, bulan terbebas api neraka. Andaikan saja Ramadan semua, bulan yang tiba, bulan yang ada. Karena besarnya setiap pahala yang dijanjikan kepada kita. Marhaban ya Ramadan, marhaban ya Ramadan. Marhaban ya Ramadan, marhaban ya Ramadan. Dalam bersahur ada pahala, dalam berbuka alangkah indah.
menahan diri, menahan lidah, menjaga hati, menjaga mata. Banyakkan amal hari-harinya, pahala datang berlipat ganda. Berlomba-lomba untuk ibadah, dunia bahagia surga nantinya. Ramadan tiba, Ramadan tiba, Ramadan tiba. Ramadan tiba, Ramadan tiba, Ramadan tiba. Dan semoga setiap jiwa diberikan ampunannya. Dan semoga hapus semua kesalahan setiap jiwa.
Aunur Rafiq Lil Firdaus, or better known by the name of Opik, was born in Jember, East Java on March 16, 1974. He is a composer and a singer of religious Japanese ethnic songs. The popularity of the singer, who has melodious voice, is undisputed. Early in his career in the entertainment world, Opik was a rock singer. History is unpredictable. Opik, who had never included the name of the god in his songs, now is known as a religious singer and aligned with a cleric. Istighfar, the first album, which was released in 2005, got a huge success. In the first month of its release, the album was able to record double platinum with sales of more than 300,000 copies. Besides singing, Opik also invites the audience to give alms to the accompaniment of a song entitled Salawat Badar and the song entitled Sedekah Miliknya. In less than 5 minutes, he collected donations of more than 14 million rupiahs. The money was donated to DSM, Dompet Sabilillah Muhajirin, which is intended for orphans and duafa. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Tuhan Beri Kami Cinta.
Tuhan beri kami cinta dalam dada yang rapuh dan lelah. Tumbuhkanlah cinta di hati, di dalam hidup ini. Hari-hari penuh mana luka dan benci menghiasi wajah. Hilanglah kasih, hilanglah saudara, air mata dalam nyanyiannya. Berlalulah duka, tangis dan air mata. Berlalulah segala dendam benci dalam jiwa. Sinari hati terang hilangkan Tuhan. Tuhan beri kami
dada ini. Berlalu lagu ketangis dan air mata, berlalu segala dendam benci dalam jiwa. Sinari hati terangi langkah Tuhan beri kami. Berlalu lagu ketangis dan air mata, berlalu segala dendam benci dalam jiwa. Sinari hati
on last January 20, 2015, located in Balikpapan, East Kalimantan, OPIC staged a fundraising for the Palestinians, followed by about 1,000 people. According to him, the concern for fellow Muslims began to decrease. He said there were not a lot of media that highlighted the violence in Palestine. The fundraising was aimed at bringing students and residents of Balikpapan to open their heart to care for brother Muslims in Palestine by contributing voluntarily donation. The results will be channeled through the National Committee for the Palestinian People. On April 30, 2015, OPIC was involved in social action, including a charity concert for Palestinians held in Indonesia Hijab Fest event together with Awarda in Bandung, West Java. Previously, OPIC effort came directly to Palestine to see the conditions in Gaza, Palestine, assisted by the guards in a tank. Well, listener, to conclude our musical program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Karnamu and Kembalilah by OPIC, and here are the songs.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.